This is the first session of the Reason for God class. Record this. Here we go. Glad everybody's here. I think if you didn't get a sheet, you didn't sign up, you can still get a sheet. There should be enough because I think some folks that did sign up aren't here, which is okay. So, but glad to see everybody. And if you don't have a sheet, Daniel has extras. If you need one, you can raise your hand, get one. I'll also just warn you, if you're somebody who likes to follow word for word from the sheet, then you're not going to like me. Because I'm not going to make you fill in the blanks. The sheet is a guide, but I go in all kinds of places. So yeah, you can use it, and hopefully it'll be helpful. Okay, welcome. Just a couple of ground rules at the top. I'll be speaking for about 30 minutes, and then we'll have 15 minutes at the end of Q&A. And then beyond that, I'm leaving. And you're welcome to stay and talk, but I will leave in 45 minutes. So please hold your questions to the end. We do want to have discussion, but it's a lot of information. And so I'm going to try to do the download on you first, and then we'll enter into some discussion. Also, my hope for the class is that when you're hearing this, this is not a time to get puffed up with knowledge, right? This is a time for us to, as 1 Peter 3 says, to be able to handle the truth and to respond to people with gentleness and respect. In fact, does somebody have a Bible handy? I see a Bible in your lap, Ian. Would you read for us 1 Peter 3:15? And as he's looking that up, this is the intent. I'll say this. I taught this somewhat when I worked at MTSU for RUF. And it was one of the most helpful things I found for students or having friends that were asking questions. And they were having friends saying certain things. They were going to philosophy class and they're saying certain things. And then we went through this and they were able, number one, to understand what they thought about it. And then number two, to respond to it. And so I think it gives answers. And that's what I really hope for in our class. Ian, will you read it for us?
But in your hearts, honor Christ as Lord, as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do so with gentleness and respect.
Okay. And again, giving answers for what motive? To be gentle and respectful to other people, not to win the argument. Oskinus gives an illustration in one of his books of how he went to this debate, and it was a three-day debate with a non-Christian. He's like, I won the debate after 3 days. The guy didn't even finish. And then at the end of it, the guy just looked at him and went, I still don't believe, and he walked out, right? What are we trying? What's the purpose here? The purpose is for us to grow and be able to give answers, not to be right to a point of being disrespectful toward other people. We want to be gentle. Okay, so first week here, first session, is the question and really the statement. There can't just be one religion. So off the top, let me make this truth statement. That is a religious statement. Right? So when someone says there can't just be one right religion, you've just declared something about religion. You've just made a truth faith statement. Okay? At the beginning of chapter one, Keller gives an illustration of he and other religious leaders being on a panel at a university. I think it was New York University. And people are up there, they're talking. And before the thing started, the religious leaders got together and started talking about what they don't agree on, respectfully, honorably. Well, then they present their cases before this crowd of students. And they were very comfortable, the religious leaders. Students were not, because they stood up and said, but don't you guys all believe the same thing? And they looked at each other and said, no. In fact, we were just talking about how we disagree. So let me use that illustration to say, you know, you got a Buddhist, you got a Jewish person, you got a Muslim, you got a Christian, and they line them up. There's also another person that's up there. And that's the person that says, this is what I think about all of this. That's, I think, where the Christian church is confused. We understand how we disagree. We don't know how to respond to people that say, everybody's okay. And I want to tell you, that's another belief. It's another religious statement. Just like when you look through the yellow pages on churches, yellow pages anymore, but you look through a Google search on tell me all the denominations in my area. There's also a denomination called non-denominational. It is a denomination. Just like someone who says there can't be one religion is a religion. They're making a religious statement. We need to be able to categorize that as such. Okay, so we'll start out here with a couple of just things under kind of there can't be one religion. And I should say, too, we're talking about religion being exclusive, right? You might hear people talk about exclusivity of truth or exclusivity of religion. Some people will say, again, we are all the same. And to say all religions, including Christianity, are basically the same is to confuse Christianity, as I kind of talked about this morning, as a religion of morals. So when someone says we're all the same, they're assuming something with that. And it's based on morality. And if you know Christianity, you know Christianity is not about being moral. Yes, it's important, but that's not salvation. That's not how we get to heaven. Also, I think even more impressive to me, powerful to me, is when we say that we're all the same, people don't understand a lot of the other religions. A basic one you can talk about is Satanism. To say that being a Satanist and being a Christian are basically the same, you're not understanding religion, right? To say that being Jewish and also a religion that says that you should sacrifice your children are the same, you're not understanding what religions are saying. And then the question is, where do you draw the line? Right? Because some people would say, well, it's all basically morality. But how do you explain morality? And who gets to draw the moral line? Could you have told David Koresh that he was the same as all these other religions? Then people say, no, he's over. He's too much. According to who? Right? Where's the line drawn? And then who gets to draw the line? Who's the person or the religion that gets to draw a line? Go ahead and be honest. Intellectually, you're saying you're religious. You're just saying that this is what you think, and these are your religious statements about whatever religion you are claiming to be. To say that we're all the same isn't to understand religions. You haven't done enough research to really grasp what these different religions are saying. Kind of alongside of that is that we're all right, that there's no one who's wrong, we're all the same. If you are religious, then that's good. If you're not religious, then, you know, that's okay, but it's not as good. But everybody's fine. And again, to conglomerate Christianity with other religions is to not understand what Jesus has said. He's very clear, I am the way, the truth, the life. His exclusive statements eliminate anyone who thinks that all religions are right. You might could say that with some of them that go together as far as morality, but not Christianity. You can't include Christianity with that. So let me just kind of say off the top, I think this is the most common, not necessarily on an academic and in an academic environment, but just at work with moms and dads, with friends, that people are like, man, you go to church, that's great. I don't, but I'm glad you do. That works for you. It doesn't work for me, but we're both fine, right? You're not understanding what you're saying, and you're also making faith statements by declaring that. The other common one that kind of goes along with this is that we're either all right and just know it, or there really is no absolute truth. And I would say the absolute truth argument is a little more pervasive. And this is usually based on the illustration of the elephant and the blind man. If you're familiar with the elephant and blind man, raise your hand. Okay, good. So I won't go into it extensively, but it is the idea that God or the truth is the elephant, and we're all walking into it blind. And you know, one person's like, oh, God or the truth is like a trunk. Oh, God or the truth is like a leg. And this is the way you explain it, right? And the assumption there is that someone's not blind, right? One person's coming in feeling it this way. Another person's coming in feeling it this way. But then somebody else can really see what's happening. It contradicts itself. That if we're all blind, then we don't, no one knows. You're assuming something here. And Keller says it this way. How could you possibly know that no religion can see the whole truth unless you yourself have the superior, comprehensive knowledge of spiritual reality you just claim that none of the religions have? Again, I think what people have to see is that's religious. You're making faith statements when you're saying those things. This is often referred to or defined as pluralism. And if you want to study pluralism more, go read the book of Daniel and dig into it, because it's very pluralistic and helps us to understand it well. This idea is there are people who are enlightened. If you get that all these different gods are acceptable, that there's universalism here, then someone's enlightened and someone's not. And again, that creates this separation. And it is kind of a pat on the head of, yeah, you know, bless your heart, but you don't get it. And that is pulling back and saying, you have to really come into this enlightenment in order to understand all these things, instead of being so rigid with what you think is absolute truth. That you are, you know, you're so narrow on what you believe. I would say also, again, faith statement, and a category that I've seen when I worked at University of North Florida was very obvious to me, was the universalist. Sometimes they'll refer to themselves as universal Unitarians, or they'll just refer to themselves as universalist. This really is their statement of faith. This is the way they think, their worldview, is that if you can see that all religions have value and all religions are good, then you really are enlightened. But once you get narrow, then you've eliminated everything. And that is a denomination. That is a faith statement. That's a faith category that must be understood. So those are kind of generally when people are saying this, struggling with exclusivity, this is what they're saying. I would say, and this is not Keller, I would say what I've experienced in these conversations, in the readings I've done, is that it's not about religion. It's about individualism. And what I mean by that is people want to be individuals, and that's the religion. Is don't push on me. Don't tell me I'm wrong. And I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. So don't tell me I'm wrong. I'm not hurting you, so don't hurt me, right? And what's the tricky part with this is the church doesn't know what to do with this. Because we've created within Christianity this thing of once you walk in the door of a church, we want you to have a great time. We want you to really enjoy yourself, and we want to make this about you. And so then people are walking into different environments, religious environments that aren't Christian, and it actually feels better. Because then they're like, and you don't even have to do any of this stuff. We have worshiped the individual in the Western world. We have said that individuals are more important than any religion, any God, and individual rights, right? That my rights are more important than anything else. And so if you push on my rights as an individual, my choices, my voice, I am not okay with that. And let's be honest, that's where the line is drawn. It's really not about religion. It's about you pushing on me as a person. And I'm not okay with that. And I'm going to fight you. And I'll fight you with religion. I'll fight you with politics. I'll fight you with philosophy. However you want to fight, I'll fight you. Universalism is something that really fits the individual so much better. It's more comfortable. It's more easy. Instead of saying, as an individual, as a person, I have to submit to God. And I think what you have to bring people to, and say this about myself, I have to bring myself to say, I have to give up my rights. And of course, this is exactly what Jesus did. And so when we start talking about individualism, and people are like, oh, wow, okay, I think I see that, but what do I do with it? You come to the one who gave up his rights so that we can have life. And then what do? In response to that, we come back to him. I think what people are struggling with is this question of being individualist and bringing that into the argument of religion. I was preparing for this. And I was kind of also watching TV at the same time the other day. And the Burger King commercial came on. At BK, have it your way. You rule. And I was like, wow. Yeah, that just underlines this whole idea of individualism, right? It's the have it your way argument. And this too has gotten into the church with self-esteem, self-worth. Again, not bad things. But if those things become essentially what we want for our kids and for everybody above everything else, that we want environments to help them be more individuals. And it is kind of what we've been talking about in Luke 2, the idea of the leaven. It's a little bit, it's just a little bit, but it starts to create worldviews. And it starts to seep into actually what Jesus is saying. So let me say this as well. My hope for our church and for all Christians for that matter, but specifically for Redeemer, is that our church would not be about an individual. Our church wouldn't be about the church. But that our church would be about Jesus. And being able to recognize when we're making something just about me and my preferences, or me and how I felt about something, or how other people are feeling, instead of bringing this back to this is about Christ, and Christ has called us as his people to come to him because he laid down his life for us, and then for us to lay down our lives. And a lot of times give up rights as individuals. I know it's not easy. Because here's what is easy. It's easy to just say, we're all individuals. Let's try to figure this out. And I don't want to offend you. You don't offend me. And we'll just, kind of exist together. And I think that's, again, the way a lot of this false teaching has gotten into the church. Okay. Again, exclusivity. That is what I will say off the top. And that actually wasn't as long as I thought it would be. So we can have more.